never cease to amaze me how stronger his voice gets as he gets older. Speaking of getting older, I think, Charles, we're the senior men around here now. I don't know what to call that other Ford. He looks as good as both of us. I guess he's a senior man. Elder Ford's a good man. I have very, very fond memories of him. Elder's good to see you. God bless you. God bless you. It's always good to be back home, amen? There's no place like home. If you're a member of the Miller family, it makes it even special just to be a Miller, I tell you. Whenever I think about us, we have our ups and downs like any other family, but we always supported each other, and it's just good to know that. I try to pass that on to my children to let them know that how special we are just to be Millers. Amen? And I just wish everybody could be a Miller, but you know, you can't choose the family you're born into. Once again, it's good to be back home. It always is. And I just want you to bow your heads with me as we go into the Word of God. Amen? Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for all that you have done, continue to do in the present, and your promises for a bright future. We just want to praise you, Lord, for being who you are and allowing us to be adopted into the family. And so as we open your word to be strengthened, enlightened, and ennobled, we ask that you would give us added blessings and more than human wisdom to comprehend. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the book of St. Luke, the 17th chapter, I would like to read in your hearing verses 11 to 19. St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 11, on down to verse 19. I still hear a few pages moving, but when you have it, just say amen. St. Luke 17, beginning at 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. I would like to speak for a moment on the subject, giving thanks. Thanksgiving season is upon us now. And when we think about Thanksgiving, our minds, many people think about macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce, what is that thing called? Green bean casserole, and of course, turkey. Now, there is a move on now to replace turkey. There's a very vegetarian move, an organization that are not Seventh-day Adventists who have replaced turkey with what they call tofu turkey. And they call it tofurkey. And I like the idea. But let me say this to you. There is nothing holy about being a vegetarian. Some of the meanest people I know don't eat meat at all. They sit down after church at the dinner table, not having eaten meat. Oh, but they have roast preacher, fried deacon, turnover lightly ushers. Some of those people can tear people apart, but they wouldn't dare eat a piece of meat. Having said that, there are some benefits to being a vegetarian. Vegetarians live longer than anybody on the face of the earth. They have fewer strokes and fewer heart attacks. They are most likely not to have cancer, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure. It's good to be a vegetarian, amen? Now, what else do we associate with Thanksgiving? And that's one of the reasons why some of us are here, and that is family gathering. Thanksgiving is one of the few times of the year where families sit down together at one time in one place and eat together. After the meal, the children usually play games. The adults in the room will sit down and watch television as they nod in and out of the football game. As the day rolls on, we eat again. And as the week rolls on, people eat turkey sandwiches for lunch and dinner. Amen? That's Thanksgiving. Well, this morning, I would like for us to focus in on what the holiday is really all about. Ironically, which we have forgotten in the midst of our celebrations, which is to give gratitude to a good God, a merciful God, amen. And friends, I want you to know that gratefulness is a sign that Christians have been set aside and we're different. Did you know that? The psalmist said, so we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalms 119 verse 62 says, at midnight I rise to give thanks for your righteous laws. And in Psalms 150 and verse 6 it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what makes us different, because we are praisers, amen? But in this 21st century America, we live in what we call an entitlement age. We have so much wealth in this society. We have such a higher standard of living until people have taken food, shelter, and a roof over your head for granted, rather than a blessing, amen? Ralph Nader ran for president of the United States of America. And one of his platform, and on his platform, he called health care a universal human right rather than something good or desirable. Ordinarily, I would disagree with that. But living in America, it ought to be a right. Because I believe that living in the richest country in the world, we should not have children going to bed hungry at night in the richest country in the world. In the richest country in the world, we should not have old folks buying dog foods at the end of the month to make ends meet. In the richest country in the world, people should not die of curable diseases because they can't afford health care. I think Ralph Nader was right, amen? But having said that, in this age of ours, people consider cable television, nice cars, cell phones, expensive clothes, and a big house as a necessity rather than a luxury. Something is wrong with that picture. What we consider to be poverty today is far above the quality of life in most countries in America right now. And friends of mine, I believe that these things that we think we ought to have colored our, even Christians, have colored our view of being thankful to God. Amen? We don't see these things as blessings anymore and just mess with some of it. Just make people inconvenient for a little while and they have temper tantrums. But what they have, ought to have. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a roof over your head, you're richer than 75% of the people of the world today. Wow. If you have money in the bank, cash in the wallet, even a little change in a cup at home, you're among the top 8% of the earth's wealthiest people. Did you know that? If you woke up this morning with a measure of health, you're more fortunate than millions, that the 1 million who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, of suffering from starvation, you are ahead of 5 million people in the world right now. If you can worship God as you please, like today, without harassment and torture and death, you're more fortunate than billions of people in the world who cannot do that. We're blessed this morning. I may be overstating things a little bit, but it's hard to argue with the statement that in America, we tend to take prosperity for granted. And the danger is that those who are following Jesus tend to get their sense of gratitude dulled a little bit. But paradoxically, the more we have, the less we seem to appreciate it. How come, friends of mine, the more you do for people, the less they appreciate you? Isn't that strange? Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote that if the stars came out once a year, everybody would stay up all night just to behold them. But we have seen the stars so many times, we don't bother to look up anymore. We have become so accustomed to our blessings, and sometimes we've forgotten them altogether. Do I have a witness here today? Why does it matter? Well, in our lesson study for this morning in Luke 17, we find that Jesus approached an unnamed village. The King James Version calls it a certain village. And when Jesus came to that village, he saw the customary sights. In ancient Palestine, it was not unusual to find people begging for alms. This time, he saw 10 men standing 100 paces away, crying out, "Unclean, unclean." And rather than begging for alms, they were begging Jesus for mercy. And the Bible says, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How many of you know that God is still merciful? Amen. How many of you know that David, when he got when he had the option of being punished by men or by God, David said, "I'd rather take my chances. Place myself in the hands of a merciful God any day than trust a man." How many of you know that Moses, as he hid in the clefts of the rocks, looked out at God and he saw him as long-suffering and merciful? God is still merciful today, amen. No wonder those men cried out, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us." Have mercy. Well, they needed mercy because leprosy was nauseating. It discolors the skin from pink, if you please, to brown to black. Leprosy ulcerates into sores. It ravages skin and bone. And when Christ arrived on the scene, he saw 10 outcasts with fingerless hands and handless arms. Even their eyes, the ears, and the noses were missing. They were dirty, haggard, defeated, discouraged, downhearted, downtrodden, unwanted, unwelcome, no family, no job, no touch, no home. Leprosy was aggravating. There was even among them a Samaritan. Samaritans back then were hated by the Jews. They were looked down by the Jews. They might, what you call, may be called the modern N-word. Or the Mexican who lived on the border state who were hated by Republicans and some Democrats alike. They were looked down upon. But somehow, adversity brings about some strange bedfellows. When high waters and floods hit certain areas, they found sheep and wolves huddled together on high ground trying to be saved. Yes, friends of mine, I'm going to tell you one thing. Enemies can be bound together by a common opponent. In this case, it was leprosy. They didn't care who you were. If you had leprosy, you didn't count. But the text infers that Jesus, oh, I love the Lord, walked close to them. He broke the rules. How do we know? He walked close to them. The Bible says he saw them. Yes, he did. And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." That's all he said. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they walked, they were healed. As they ran, they were cured. They were repaired. They were mended. Only because Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves." All they had to depend on was the word of God. And when we stand up and step out on the word of God, trust Jesus by faith, things happen. Only reason why Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, because Moses put his feet in the water. And God burst the waters asunder, gave them dry ground, and brought them over on the other side. David made his speech down in the valley by himself before he even slung a slingshot, a rock. He announced in advance what was going to happen to the Goliath, standing on the word of God. And one of the few problems in this church that I love is we can keep that law, but we don't have no faith. We don't have enough faith in Israel. Don't get quiet on me, because let me tell you one thing. When you trust in the Lord, he can do anything. Can you imagine the ecstasy, the surprise, the gratitude of these men? There they were running and their bodies were changing. Heading to the priest with soundness, their body is sound, the wounds gone away, and oh my goodness, they should have been excited. Isn't that right? But there was trouble. There was one thing wrong. And Jesus said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. Only one. And when he got there, he cried out with a loud, he glorified God with a loud voice and fell on his face and he worshiped at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And that one was a Samaritan. Of all of these good things that happened to all of these folks, only one tenth had the presence of mind to come back. Only one recognized, saw beyond the gift to the giver. From the teacher to the student, the needy to the helping hand. Only one recognized the source of his blessings. My. And Jesus asked the question, were there more than just you? Where are the nine? Were there nine that were cleansed? And then Jesus said to the man, your faith has made you whole. What did he mean by that? I thought all 10 were made whole. No. 10 were healed, only one was made whole. 10 were healed physically, but only one was healed spiritually. That's what happened now. Yeah, they were healed all right, but only one was made whole. We are not whole, friends of mine, unless we're connected to Jesus. Wait a minute. What was the difference? The nine cared about the healing, and their faith was limited to believing that Jesus was a miracle worker. But the one that came back was not rejoicing over being healed. He was praising God for the source of his blessings. He knew that Jesus was more than a miracle worker. He understood that Jesus was sent down from God to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus came to this world, friends, to mend broken hearts, to let the captives go free, bring light to those in darkness, exonerate those in prisons and those who are mourning and grieving. And that man saw that in Jesus that day. Oh, the nine received a tremendous gift, but the one received the greatest gift of all. I'd like to draw a couple of conclusions just two from that story. First of all, it is possible to be blessed by God and not have true faith. It's possible to receive help from Jesus and not be saved. The fact that God has done something good in your life does not guarantee that you belong to him. The key is not how God has blessed you, but whether you are responding to his blessing with praise and thanksgiving. That's the key. Many people come to Jesus, but they really don't want Jesus. Most of these lepers wanted healing, and that's all they wanted. And when they got what they want, they went on their way and never looked back. In the same way, many people today come to God because they want something. Why do you think those prosperity churches are packed to the brim? Because they want something. They've been promising something that's unbiblical, but they've been promised that. This is how it works. The preacher gets up and say, you need to sow a seed. God told me this morning to sow a $500 seed, and I did. And when you sow that seed, God said, I'm going to give you a breakthrough. 100-fold. God may even throw in a measure of health. And those people spend their lives, their time, and they're ever sitting there giving their money waiting on a breakthrough. Like playing the lottery. My breakthrough is going to come. And that man's pocket is full, so full. Three houses, a fleet of cars, servants. That's because people want something. They've been bought into this nonsense that you get money when you serve God. God will bless you in every aspect of your life. And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, not by some breakthrough. Amen. But that's what people want. Amen. That's what people want. The second point I want to make to you is that not all faith is saving faith. You may have faith that God can do something for you, like help you stop smoking, or help you to control your temper, or help you to get along with people. And that's all you want God to do for you. And that's what you're limited to. But friends of mine, saving faith helps us and makes us to be gracious and thankful for everything that God does. Now, I'm going to do a checklist this morning. I want you to think in your mind. Don't say anything out loud. I'm going to go down a list of things so you can examine as to whether or not you have faith or you're grateful. Which do you tend to talk about more, your blessings or your disappointments? Second, are you a complainer, always grumbling, always finding fault with your circumstances? Or are you content with what you have, always dissatisfied and wanting more? Do you find it easier to count your blessings or easier to count your afflictions? Do you express thanks to other people when they help you, or do you take it for granted? Will other people who know you say that you're a thankful person? Those are just personal questions, all right? I'm not suggesting that we ought to be Pollyannas running around here acting like everything is fine, with a smile plastered on your face singing praise the Lord all the time. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying that is, in the midst of everything that's going on in your life, your focus ought to be on God and His goodness. Amen? And the question is asked, when should we be thankful? The Bible says we ought to be thankful all the times. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Amen? I don't know about you, but I find that verse to be challenging to me. The Bible says you have to be thankful all the time. I know most people, when things are going well, they can't wait to get up and testify about the goodness of God. But when things are going bad, we tend to be quiet. We either whine or suffer in silence. I don't know. But the Bible says we ought to always give thanks to God. That is, giving thanks no matter what you are doing. Whether you're eating fine food in a wonderful restaurant or cleaning the toilet, give thanks. Whether you get a promotion and a raise on your job or giving a pink slip and shown the door, give thanks. Whether you're strong and healthy or you're sick and diseased, give thanks. Whether your marriage is rewarding or satisfying, or whether it's painful and a struggle, give thanks. In every situation, our attitude ought to be give thanks. Amen. How can we do it? This is how we do it. First, we must recognize that although not everything is good in itself, God can and will use everything in our lives for our blessing. My favorite text is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. Good and bad things don't happen to a Christian. Things happen, but it's all for our good. Amen. God has a good and wise purpose even in our pain and suffering. So we can give thanks knowing that God has a blessing somewhere in this experience. That's why the Bible says in James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So I wonder why. I don't like to ask why or anything. Why did the nine not come back? Your folks in my therapy session, why? If I only knew why he did it, I'd feel better. I said, what would you do different if you knew why and didn't know why? Nothing. Well, I don't want to know why. I just want some behavior changed. All right? We're going to work on that. Why did the nine come back? Did not come back. Somebody said one waited to see if he was really well. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never had leprosy anyway. One said he would have gotten better anyway. One gave the glory to the priest. One said, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done it. One said, I was already getting better anyway. Gratitude and the lack of it. Somebody said, when I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings, not my sheep. Count your blessings, friends. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains and not your losses. Count your joys and not your woes. Count your friends and not your foes. Count your smiles and not your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Yes, friends, we need to count our blessings. Now, these men never would, musician, help me out, never would have had any kind of change if they had not met Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus can do anything? Somebody said, when you come to the cross, it'll make a felon a follower, a hit man, a head deacon, a street walker, a soul stalker, a carpet crook, a camp meeting cook, a drug dealer, a heart healer, a club dancer, a hope enhancer, a bartender, a faith defender. God can change a pervert into a convert, a con man into Jesus' handyman, a sex offender to full surrender. He can change a pimp into a priest, a playboy into an altar boy, an unbelieving spouse into God's remnant house. I told Jesus it would be all right if he would change my name. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I wonder today, there's somebody who came here with a mind not made up, but now you have a made up mind. There's somebody here today who's been thinking about it, but now you feel that this is my time. Anybody here today who want to get their house in order and bring things together for yourself and for your family? Anybody like that today? There's somebody like that today. You want to become a member of this church? I'm inviting you right now to give your heart to God and raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody want to become a member of this church? Raise your hand. Anybody? You want to become a member of this church? God bless you. Give him a hand. Give God a hand. Give God a hand. Give God a hand. God bless you. God bless you.